one of the most spectacular, complex, but fragile ecosystems in the world. The Great Barrier Reef.
The sea country is very significant to the traditional owners of this area.
Australia's Great Barrier Reef has experienced another mass bleaching event.
The reef is under pressure, particularly from climate change, but it is an amazing, vibrant, thriving, beautiful ecosystem.
This remarkable ecosystem is a national treasure, and it's not only our duty as Australians to preserve and protect it, but our duty to the planet.
Hello, and welcome to Word on the Reef, a podcast where we take the plunge into one of the world's most spectacular natural wonders, the Great Barrier Reef. Join us as we dive beneath the waves to explore incredible marine wildlife, meet the inspiring people working to save it, and learn how, together, we can all take action to protect this natural treasure. I'm your host, Tanya Murphy, a marine enthusiast lucky enough to be living in the tropical North Queensland city of Cairns, the gateway to the Great Barrier Reef. I've been incredibly lucky to be living the dream working on the reef as a scuba diving instructor and reef guide since 2011. So I know the reef and its animals and people really well. I've also been involved volunteering and working in marine conservation since 2017, so I'm extremely passionate about protecting this incredible ecosystem and sharing that passion with others. I also have a background in journalism, which means I love asking people questions. So it just made sense to start a podcast. Over the years, I've become connected with a number of incredible individuals at the forefront of reef research and protection. Their knowledge not only deepened my understanding of the challenges facing our reef, but also the solutions that are available if we choose to take action together. During this series, I will be interviewing marine biologists, conservationists, traditional custodians, tour guides, and more to answer all your questions about the reef. So whether you're a diver, like me, who works and dives regularly on the reef and wants to keep up to date with all the latest news and scientific discoveries, or a tourist wanting to get a basic understanding of the reef before or during your visit, or someone who's never been to the reef but just wants to learn more about it and what we can all do to protect it. Whichever you are, this podcast is for you. The Great Barrier Reef is World Heritage listed, which means it belongs to all of us. And indeed, the future of the reef depends on all of us. So no matter whether you dive on the reef every day or live on the other side of the world, there are things you can do to help ensure we have a healthy, vibrant Great Barrier Reef into the future. And I'm so grateful that you're joining us on this adventure. Now, while our main focus will be on the Great Barrier Reef, we'll also be taking a few side excursions to other incredible reefs like Australia's Great Southern Reef, Western Australia's Ningaloo Reef, and even internationally to Florida Reef and beyond, because all reefs of the world are facing similar threats, and what we learn on one reef can assist in protecting other reefs. As I mentioned, in future episodes, I'll be diving into some fascinating interviews with some amazing experts, so you won't just be stuck listening to me the entire time, but I want to kick off with a bit of a Great Barrier Reef overview, which will help you understand everything that is to follow. So to do this, we'll be heading to the Cairns Airport and jumping on board our imaginary Great Barrier Reef Joy Flight to get a bird's eye view and appreciate its size and beauty. So welcome aboard. Buckle in, your adventure of a lifetime is about to begin. Before we take off, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are starting our flight, the Yidinji and Irukandji people, and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. The Great Barrier Reef is traditional sea country for more than 70 First Nations groups whose connections with the marine environment date back more than 60,000 years. First Nations people have cared for the reef and hunted and fished there, but never took more than they needed for thousands of years, resulting in a reef which was in peak condition at the time of the arrival of European settlers. First Nations custodianship of the reef continues today, as traditional owners actively participate in conservation and monitoring of the reef. I'm really privileged to have had the opportunity to talk with many of these traditional owners, and I'm looking forward to sharing their knowledge with you in future episodes. Now, as we reach our cruising altitude, please take a look out of your window. In the dark navy blue expanse of the ocean, you will see a bright turquoise ribbon of reefs right below you. And the first thing you'll notice is that it is really, really huge. It is the largest structure on Earth built by living organisms. It's actually not one single reef, but it's made up of around 3,000 separate reefs and 900 islands in a ribbon along the coast of Queensland. These reefs vary in depth, but most of them have a shallow section called the reef flat, which is only a few feet deep and easily visible through the clear water and can even be seen from space. For those playing along at home, feel free to look it up on Google Maps in satellite view so you can appreciate what we are looking at. Now, as you look ahead, you'll see the reef stretches all the way to the horizon. It's more than 2,300 kilometers or 1,400 miles long, which is about the same distance as from Mexico to Canada or from the UK to Russia. It covers nearly 350,000 square kilometers, which is bigger than New Zealand or Italy. And it's about the same size as Japan or Germany or half of Texas. It spans 14 degrees of latitude from just north of Brisbane in southern Queensland all the way up to Papua New Guinea, which is the country just north of Australia. About 10% of all coral on Earth lives at the Great Barrier Reef. We'll be diving under the water to get a closer look in future episodes, but even from our low-flying plane, you may see dolphins, turtles, sharks, rays, and in the winter season, even whales, gliding through the crystal clear water. The Great Barrier Reef is the nursery of the ocean, with around one quarter of marine species living on coral reefs for at least part of their life cycle. One of the world's most biodiverse ecosystems, the reef is home to more than 9,000 species of marine life, including some 600 types of corals, 1,600 species of fish, more than 30 species of whales and dolphins, six of the world's seven species of sea turtles, and a huge variety of often underappreciated but very fascinating invertebrates, from sea slugs to clams to crustaceans and much more. We'll be getting up close and personal with some of these cool critters in later episodes, so stay tuned to find out. Fun facts like, which animal flashes like a strobe light? Which favorite Disney character is known for changing its sex during its life cycle? And which animal breathes through its butt? Actually, there's more than one. And as to why they would do that, well, you'll have to stay tuned to find out. Another thing you'll notice as we fly over the reef is the distinct lack of oil rigs. Many coral reefs across the world are dotted with oil rigs, but we are grateful to say that there are none on the Great Barrier Reef. Nowadays, it's taken for granted that the reef should be protected, but shockingly, in the 60s, there were applications under consideration to drill the reef for oil and mine it for limestone to use as fertilizer. It was only thanks to a small group of grassroots volunteers leading a Save the Reef campaign that these destructive projects were halted. The efforts of these passionate reef defenders can teach us a lot about what we can do now as the reef faces new threats. But that will be the subject of a future episode. The important thing to know is that today, thanks to the efforts of those past conservationists, the reef is a marine park and a World Heritage Area, attracting millions of visitors like you each year who come to enjoy its beauty above and below the water. Protecting the reef has allowed it to be enjoyed sustainably, contributing more than $6.4 billion each year to the Australian economy and around 64,000 full-time jobs. Looking down, it's not just coral reefs that will take your breath away. Coral reefs actually only comprise about 7% of the marine park and World Heritage Area. The rest of the marine park is an extraordinary variety of marine habitats, including seagrass, mangroves, sand, algal and sponge gardens, inter-reef ecosystems, and more. While some of these habitats are less appreciated than coral habitats, they're all vitally important for the overall health of the reef ecosystem. For example, much-loved turtles and dugongs depend on healthy seagrass beds for food, and many reef species spawn in mangroves before heading out to the coral reefs. All of these ecosystems are interconnected and interdependent, and anything we do to the land, rivers, and coastlines has a big impact on the reef, while anything we do to one part of the reef can also impact the other parts, as we will learn later in this series. Another thing you can easily appreciate from a bird's eye view is the reason why it's called a barrier reef. The ribbon of reefs forms a wall or barrier against the open ocean, protecting the coastline of Queensland from large waves. As you look down, you might see white-capped waves and large swell crashing on the outer edges of the reef. But on the inside of the reef, it's much more flat and calm, a perfect sheltered lagoon to provide a habitat for all the marine life to thrive and for visitors like ourselves to go diving and snorkeling. This sandy lagoon has an average maximum depth of about 35 metres or 115 feet or so, which might sound pretty deep, but that's nowhere near how deep it is on the outside of the reef, where the depth drops down to more than 2 kilometres or 1.2 miles deep, which is the edge of the Australian continental shelf. During the last ice age, sea levels were lower, and that shallow shelf where the reef now sits was actually dry land. Indigenous nations still have records in their oral history of living and hunting on areas of the continental shelf that are now submerged. After the ice age ended about 9,000 years ago, melting ice at the polar regions caused natural sea level rise, which submerged the edge of the continental shelf and took the coastline 60 to 250 kilometres inland. Shallow areas along the outer edge of the continental shelf were submerged just below the water, and corals grew up on top, forming the ribbon of reefs that you see today. If you look out your window now, you will see a beautiful mountainous island fringed by white sandy beaches and colourful coral. This is Fitzroy Island, a popular resort and tourist destination and one of my personal favourite places to go and visit. There are some 600 such islands on the reef formed by volcanic mountains that were left sticking up out of the water when the continental shelf flooded. Other continental islands include the Whitsunday Islands and Lizard Island. If you look out your window in the other direction, you might see Green Island, another popular resort and tourist destination. However, this is a totally different type of island known as a sand cay or coral cay. A cay is formed when sand washes up on top of a coral reef, creating an island, many of which become nesting sites for seabirds and turtles. There are about 300 cays on the reef, with some other examples including Michaelmas Cay and Sudbury Cay. Birds bring seeds in their droppings, and many cays eventually end up covered in vegetation like Green Island, which you see below you, and Low Isles, which you'll see to our north off the coast of Port Douglas. How far is the outer edge of the reef from the mainland? Well, at the southern end of the reef, the edge of the continental shelf is around 250 kilometres from the mainland. But here, near Cairns in far north Queensland, the edge of the shelf is only about 60 kilometres from the mainland, which is why it's the most popular starting point to visit the outer reef. As we fly north from Cairns, we'll see the beautiful resort town of Port Douglas on our left, and you'll see there are some places where the reef comes very close to the mainland. Captain James Cook was the first European person to encounter these reefs in the year 1770, when he crashed into one of them. Captain Cook sailed up the coast of Australia from New South Wales in his ship, the Endeavour, and because he was following the coast, he didn't realise he was inside the Great Barrier Reef until he scraped his boat up against it, where it comes close to the coast north of Port Douglas. So he named that place Cape Tribulation. If you look out your window now, you'll be able to see it, one of the last truly wild places on Earth and home of the World Heritage listed Daintree Rainforest. As we continue north, you'll see Cooktown, which settlers named after Captain Cook. He managed to make it this far with his damaged boat and beached it here for a couple of months to make repairs. The local Indigenous people call this place Gangaroo, a word which the explorers applied to a strange animal they spotted there, which we now know Australia-wide as the kangaroo. Anyway, while Cook was here, he interacted with the First Nations people in a way which seems to have been mostly peaceful, except for a slight skirmish, which started when the Europeans hunted a bunch of turtles and refused to share them with the locals. After the ship was repaired, Cook sailed to Lizard Island, which you'll see up ahead. It's a significant place known as Jigaroo for First Nations people, and today it's also home to a resort. But when Captain Cook arrived, all he noticed was a bunch of lizards. He climbed to the top of the mountain, spotted a way out through the maze of reefs, and eventually made it back to England. Anyway, I hope to spend more time exploring the history of the reef with actual historians in future episodes, but for now, it's time to turn our plane around and head back to Cairns. As we go, let's discuss some of the threats the reef is facing. The biggest threat to the Great Barrier Reef is climate change. There is broad scientific consensus and increasingly obvious real-life impacts showing that burning fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas is heating up the atmosphere and the ocean across the planet, causing more frequent and severe extreme weather events like marine heatwaves, storms, and floods, as well as ocean acidification, all of which cause significant stress to coral reefs. The second biggest threat is water pollution from land-based runoff, and the third biggest threat is overfishing. Outbreaks of coral-eating pests, like the crown of thorns starfish and the Drupella snail, are also threats to the reef. These outbreaks may be influenced by human actions, like water pollution and overfishing of the pest's main predators, but we'll be learning more about that in future episodes. So, when it comes to reef threats, don't just take my word for it. We'll be interviewing experts in depth on all of these threats and what we can do about them in the coming episodes. So stay tuned to learn more. As we touch back down in sunny Cairns, I'd like to thank you for traveling with Word on the Reef. If you enjoyed this tour, please come back next week, where we'll be joining a marine scientist for a journey beneath the waves for an up close and personal look at coral. Please subscribe and follow Word on the Reef on Instagram to get notified when it's time for our next adventure. This is a not-for-profit passion project, so if you enjoyed it, please give us a like, share, and tell your friends. If you'd like to get involved in action to help protect the Great Barrier Reef, visit www.fightforourreef.org.au. If you'd like to sponsor this podcast, please consider becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month over at patreon.com/wordonthereefpodcast. You'll get a shout out, and the proceeds will help towards covering costs like podcast hosting, email hosting, website hosting, and so on. That's all for now. Best fishes, and see you next time.